الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. الحمد لله منشئ الخلق من عدم ثم الصلاة على المختار في القدم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك على رسولك خير الخلق كلهم. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على بشير النذير محمدا. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على طه سيد المرسلين. بلغ سلامي روضة فيها النبي المحترم يا خير من دفنت بالقاء أعظمه فطاب من طيبهن القاع والأكم. روح الفدا لقبر أنت ساكنه فيه الأفاق وفيه الجود والكرم. هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل هول من الأهوال مقتحم. يا رب بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما أبرئ نفسي إن النفس لأمارة بالسوء إلا ما رحم ربي إن ربي غفور رحيم. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. We read this ayat yesterday also, but we didn't get onto the bayan, into introduction of sunnats, the importance of sunnats, and we mentioned some sunnats also. Today also we will mention one sunnat before we start our talk, and that is the sunnat of giving answer to adhan. When adhan is called, we should reply to the adhan. This is also a sunnat. And when we hear the adhan, there are certain other du'as also that we should try and read. For example, وَأَنَا أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهِ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. When we hear the azan, we should try and read that du'a also. Read this du'a also, رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبًّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا وَبِسَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ رَسُولًا وَنَبِيًّا. Then what the muadzin says, four times, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, again, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, we should repeat those words. And this applies for ladies also. Ladies won't come for Jamaat Namaz, and they won't come to the masjid to make Namaz, but they should reply to the Adhan also. And what is very important and very good for ladies, when they hear the Adhan, reply to it and make Namaz at that time. They don't have to wait for Jamaat Namaz. When they hear the Adhan, they should try and make it. Otherwise, what commonly happens generally to ladies, they dally, and Namaz becomes late. Many times Fajr also comes in the time after sunrise, in fact. Zohar near Asr time, Asr near Maghrib time, Maghrib near Isha time, and Isha late, when the husband now wants to sleep, and he also expects his wife to be with him, then they busy with their namaz, and for long they carry on with their namaz. So if they hear the adhan, and at that time they give adhan the jawab also, and make their namaz finish, that is the best time to make namaz for the ladies as well. Then when the muadzin says twice, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, then we all should reply the same. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, the same reply should be given. Yeah, we should remember, many of us got the habit that when we hear Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, we reply, and before we reply, we just hear Muhammadan Rasulullah, we say Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Durood Sharif is in ibadat of great, great merit, but it is not to be recited yet. Because it comes in the hadith that reply to the adhan as the muazzin says. So muazzin doesn't say, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there we should also not say. And then it comes in the hadith that when adhan is finished, ثم صلوا علي. And according to Arabic grammar, the word ثم is for delayed action, تراخي. So it means you wanted to say durood there, but delayed and say it after the adhan. And then read the dua of adhan, which we will come to. So an exception which has been made in the hadith to say the words of what the muadzin says, it comes in the hadith. When he says twice, hayya ala salah, we must say twice, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And when he says twice, hayya ala salah, we should say twice, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. There it comes in the hadith that we don't say the words what the muadzin say, but we say, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Our Shaykh, Jazahumullah Khair, Rahimahumullah, explained that really it should have been that when the Muaddin said, come to Namaz, we should say, Labbaik, I'm ready, I'm coming. But that's not the answer. And that is the proof of, one of the proofs that Islam is a true religion. Because if we said, yes, I am coming, how many times a person makes wudu at home? He makes his sunnats also, like for Fajr, for example. And just as he's supposed to step out of the house, his stomach starts working again. He feels that he says, he's not right, I have to go toilet again. And he goes back to toilet, sometimes he sits so long in the toilet that he misses Jamaat Namaz. Sometimes he'll miss even his whole Fajr. When the stomach keeps you up, your toilet keeps you up, you got no choice. You can't go make Namaz with half, you are dirty and filthy. You have to clean yourself and you have to relieve yourself. So this is that we are saying, that la hawla, oh Allah, I cannot turn away from namaz, I cannot turn away from sin, that is not made by namaz. And I haven't got the power of making namaz or anything else, illa billah, but what you help me. So when the muazzin says, come for your greatest ibadat, your greatest duty in life, the duty of namaz, then say, ya Allah, you help me. And on the other hand again, Islam is not a fatalist religion, that we just leave everything to Allah and we don't try and do anything ourselves. Many people, we tell them, make namaz, they say, when Allah will give tawfiq. Do this good when Allah will give tawfiq. But to ethic with them, you have to be very soft and that with them. So he make dua. So they make dua. But when it's now 7:30 time to go to school, and now if he doesn't get up, then he doesn't go to the principal and say, you know, he doesn't get up, and these youngsters of today, you have to be diplomatic and that. But there the belt comes out. Now you for school, the belt comes out. There is not make dua. And that what call it, what dua things will happen. So we have to make our effort also. So we say that la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, only if Allah can help us. But we make our full effort from our side also. And then Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, the same. And then read Durood Sharif after that. Then we should read the dua which comes after Adhan. Allahumma rabba hadhihi da'wati tamma wa salati al-qa'ima ati Muhammadan al-wasila wal-fadila wa ba'athu maqaman mahmudan alladhi wa'adta innaka la tukhlifu al-mi'ad. We should read this dua. The words with darajat al-rafi'ah are not in the hadith. The meaning of it is very good, but it's not in the hadith, so we should try and avoid it. And if we have taped it from our childhood days, we learnt it with the words with darajat al-rafi'ah, then we should delete that from our CD. What we have got recorded, we should delete the words with darajat al-rafi'ah. A person who does this, it comes in the hadith, that حَلَّتْ لَهُ شَفَاعَتِ. That, and the meaning of حَلَّتْ means وَجَبَتْ لَهُ شَفَاعَتِ. My intercession for that person becomes compulsory. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I will have to intercede for that person. And on the day of Qiyamah, in the light of so many other ahadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will not intercede for the non-believers. Only for the believers. So this is in fact a prescription for guaranteed iman on guaranteed maut on iman. That if a person will always reply to adhan and read this dua, his maut will come 100% guaranteed on iman. Because only if you die on iman will Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam intercede for you. And a person who reads this, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I will definitely intercede for that person. And the intercession the sifarish of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam itself is such a great thing. Such a great thing that if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam intercedes for you. For example, you want some work done. Your work is not getting done, you're trying a lot. But the person who is in charge, you find out that this person here is a very good friend and they talk and whatever he tells him to do, he does it. So you tell this person, just do my job. Just go and tell him this, I've got this problem, you sort it out. He'll just make a sign to that person and that person will do it. The position of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by Allah Ta'ala is so great. And by reading this, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will intercede for us by Allah. Our work will get done. So simple our deen is just to read this. So we should try and do this. And of course also, not that we give answer, now my mort is guaranteed on iman and I don't go for namaz now. I carry on with my business, I carry on with my other work. No, the real jawab of adhan is to now go to the masjid and get prepared, go and make your wudu, make your sunnats, make your everything and then make your namaz. And as I mentioned, again I will reiterate, for the woman also they should try and give jawab to adhan. And once they have given jawab to adhan, try and make their namaz first finish. Before doing anything else, try and make the namaz first finish. Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah. The ayat of the Quran Sharif I've recited is the beginning of 13th Supara Surah Yusuf. And these are the words of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, who was that Nabi of Allah, was the most handsome in the world. After our Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's handsomeness, the greatest handsomeness and beauty was of Yusuf, also symbolic. The beauty of Zulaikha, how beautiful she was. And she tried and tempted Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam to get involved with her in sin, in guna, in adultery. But Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam 100% stayed completely clear. So much so, she locked all the doors, there was complete privacy. Nobody will know also, she's so beautiful, he's so handsome. Tells us all bad things, bad ideas, bad thoughts come. But the Nabi, Allah gave them full control of their nafs. Their nafs cannot tell them any harm. Also at this point, let us just understand, Eve's in the, when she expects and she's conceiving, first the body is being made there. And this body takes about 4 months and 10 days to be completely formed in the factory of the mother, the womb of the mother. The whole body is made, the eyes, the head, the brains, the heart, hands, legs. About 4 months, 10 days, it's completed the whole procedure. But there's no life in that body still. Then Allah Ta'ala sends the ruh into that body. Then when that ruh comes, now there's life in that body. Now when the mother herself, she feels, when she goes to the gynecologist, they check up, they will ask her, do you feel movements? And now it's necessary, otherwise that means the child is not living. Movements, and many times the mother feels lot of movements towards the end. Now there is life in that child. By the age of 9 months, more or less, the child is now 5 months, the child lived with the ruh, life also and the body also. Body is 9 months old. But the end of the time of maut, when they separate again. At the time of maut, the body, the ruh leaves the body again. If it was a pious, righteous person, the malaika of Jannah take that body and they take it by Allah Illiyin. And his name is written in the register of Illiyin. And then the body, we get busy. Like today, janaza, we got busy, we made janaza namaz. It's just the body. Then we go and bury the body. Then the ruh is put back into the body. And there again, there is life. Like we have life here. Never ever have this wrong impression that a person who is in the qabr is just lying there, the body, and the body gets finished. For many people who are not so pious, the body gets finished. But the ruh is there, everything happens with the ruh. The enjoyment, the pleasure. And if there was punishment, it is also on the ruh. And also remember one thing, that at the time of maut, whatever the cause of death is, first the ruh goes out, then that cause of maut takes place. For example, to explain this point, when the ulama of India made jihad against the British in India to get rid of them, because they had a terrible intention of making the whole of India Christians, all the people, most of their battles, the jihad of Shamli, there the ulama were fighting, and one alim, he was also with that whole group, he saw that, just to get it in perspective, this alim which I'm speaking about, all the time in his life, people used to lick his lips, like this, all the time, licking his lips. Somebody asked him, why do you lick your lips always? Sometimes if there's something, you lick your lips after eating or something, but all the time you're licking your lips. So he explained in that battle that those of us who are going to become shaheed, we saw the hurul, and they put it to the mouth of each person who was becoming shaheed. One of those hurul in put it to my mouth also. And I got one drop, just a little bit, the taste of it. It was so delicious that till today I had the taste is on my tongue. And I lick my lips to get that enjoyment. And another hurul in told this one that he's not amongst them who are becoming shaheed today. So she took the glass away again and she went away. So if your maut comes with your hurul in of Jannah and with the drink of Jannah, yeah, the people will say, oh, he was stabbed so many times or he was shot so many times. How he must have suffered. He's gone in great enjoyment. So if we live our lives properly, yeah, perhaps motor car accident, where perhaps a crime incident, somebody shot you or something, or perhaps some other disease and illness, it looks like the person was suffering. But if you live your life correctly, and Malakul Maut comes in a beautiful form, he comes in the form of a Hurul Ain, he comes in the form of your mother, your father, your beloved, and takes you, come my Bita, come we are going now. We, like your little child, you come home, and you tell the child, Biti, my baby, come we going for a drive. Child is so happy to go with the father, won't even go in the house and tell the mother. The mother might think somebody kidnapped my child. Where's my child? She's looking everywhere. But she's gone for a drive to get ice cream, to have ice cream, to have some milkshake, and then she's enjoying. Like that when Malakul Maut comes, a person. So all of us, we got our ruh also, and we got our body also. So if we live a correct life, the ruh carries on with its journey. At the time of Maut, it is just like we are going, for example, for Umrah. So we go to the family, all will come drop us, for example, at Katima Airport. There they come and drop us, all come. From Katima we fly to, for example, Bandung, from there to Johannesburg, from there we're going to Jeddah. So when we come, we are just changing the form. By year we went by car to the airport. From the airport we leave the car alone. Now we're going by aeroplane. And then we are flying further. So just like that, at the time of Maut, this body, which was like our car, it's left behind now. And then the people, we drove till the airport. Now, for example, your son is driving the car back. So this body, the people will take it, Qabristan, and they will go and bury it, etc. But the ruh is gone on with its journey. And just like this person reaches Makkah Sharif. Nowadays, we phone, we speak. On Skype, you can see the person. I'm not explaining the masala, it's not permissible, but just an example that you can see the person, you are seeing sitting in his room, he's there, everything, they are eating, everything. Just like that, when you die, that person is not finished, he's gone on his journey. And like that person is, for example, in Makkah Sharif, Medina Sharif, he tells you, or just from your side, you say, let me send him $500. Like this, we make Isale Sawab, it reaches them also. And they know who sent it also. One very great Sheikh of Muhyiddin Ibn al-Arabi, rahmatullahi alayhi. And also another very interesting point, he was in Spain. Spain at that time was the height of Islamic civilization. Not only in dunya's things, but even in deen's things. So on one occasion, Sheikh Muhyiddin Ibn al-Arabi, rahmatullahi alayhi, invited some people for meals. They were sitting and eating. While they were eating, a young boy suddenly screamed and cried and shouted. Sheikh asked him, what's wrong with you? Quotas of 70,000 of La ilaha illallah. It comes in the hadith sharif, من قال لا إله إلا الله سبعين ألف مرة. A person who reads La ilaha illallah 70,000 times. غفر لمن قال ولمن قيل. The person who reads it, all his sins also are forgiven. And for who he really, for who he passes it on, That person's sins are also forgiven. So the Shaykh had many quotas of 70,000 of La ilaha illallah. So in his heart, without any expression on his face, not a word from his mouth, immediately he gave one quota of 70,000 to the boy's mother. Next he saw the boy smiling, laughing, happy. He said, very happy. What's wrong now? Just now you were crying, now you're smiling, laughing. What's wrong with you? He says, I see my mother is in Jannah. So from this the ulama have written that the Shaykh says, I realized the truthfulness of this hadith, that it's a correct hadith from the kashf of this boy. This boy should get kashf. What other people can't see, Allah should show him. He saw his mother in Jahannam, he saw in Jannah. And from the kashf of this boy, that I realized the truthfulness of the hadith, and from the truthfulness of the hadith, I realized that the person you send sawab, it goes more faster than electronic transfer. Then yeah, what we can transfer money, ET, we go on the computer, we transfer to so and so, so much, more faster than that, this gets. And not only did that sawab get transferred, she got transferred from Jahannam into Jannah. Hey, and all in the split second all this happened. So with the system of Allah, we cannot imagine how it is. Our system, no matter how fast we have become today, but we cannot reach where Allah Ta'ala's system is. So anyway, so this whatever isale sawab we make, like we said, money for somebody who is in Makkah Sharif, Medina Sharif, they receive it, they get happy, they know who sent it also, that my son sent it, my wife sent it for me, they get happy. Like that the people in the qabr know, and they make dua for us also. They don't get sawab of the dua, but they make dua and Allah accepts their duas also. So regularly, while we are passing on this point, make it a point. I'll just explain a little bit of its background. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, was once going to Hijaz Muqaddas, Saudi, Makkah Sharif, Medina Sharif, from India. He stopped in Bombay for a few days, and he was meeting his friends, having bayans, etc. It's my second day or third day here in Bombay, and every day I made one khatam of Quran Sharif, and I passed the sawab to the marhums of Bombay. And then he said, to read three times, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. You get the sawab of reading the whole Qur'an Sharif. For everyone, we don't have to be a hafiz. Who doesn't know قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ? Every Muslim knows. And we read it three times, you get the sawab of the whole Qur'an. He said, and then I send the sawab to the marhums of Bombay. So whenever we're traveling also, every town we enter, read the dua, Allahumma barik lana fiha, read the complete dua, then read three times qul huwa Allah and pass the sawab to the marhums of that town. There is a very great amal. And like that, normally, every day, either in the morning or evening, read three times and pass the sawabs to all the marhumin of our town. Wherever we are staying, pass the sawab to the marhumin. In fact, whenever we leave our town, we go for some work. Plus, now they cannot do any more neki. The doors of neki are closed now. So we should read and pass the sawab to them. We should make that a regular practice. So anyway, the ruh carries on with its journey. The body remains behind. But while we are in this dunya, a living person is called that person who's got a body also, and he's got his ruh also. See, for example, may Allah save us all, a person becomes very, very ill. He's admitted in hospital, he's in the ICU, he's in a coma also. He can't eat for himself, they put drips for him. He can't do toilet himself, they put a catheter for him. The ruh is in the body. As long as the ruh, the nurses are jumping, running and seeing the machines, what the machines are doing, making down their notes, etc. Doctors are coming regularly, checking on this, checking on that. But as soon as the ruh goes out, now all the machines are unplugged, pulled down now. Now his body is transferred to the mortuary room. Doctor writes out a death certificate. Now nobody is running after him and doing. The body is still there. His eyes are still there. His heart is still there, his brain is still there, he's still got big bank balances also, he got a lot. Understand from this that the journey is of the body and the ruh. But the important thing is the ruh. The ruh is the most important. We also, we are sitting here for bayan, we are doing everything. Yeah, I'm sitting on top, you put a chair for me, as long as the ruh is inside. If my ruh have to go out, You don't have to bring a chair. Now you have to get the janaza ball, get preparation to make ghusl. And then as soon as possible arrange for one burial and go and bury the person. So the important thing is the rope. Then nobody's going to cook supper for us and make breakfast for us tomorrow morning. The value is of the ruh, if we can understand. So this is the important thing. The body is made up of two things we must understand. The eyes can see. If the ruh goes out, those eyes are perfect. But in your body where there is no ruh, they can't see. Again, I'm not explaining a masala, I'm just giving an example. Your eyes can be grafted into another person whose eyes are faulty. And they can see in that body. Your heart transplant can be done. In your body, the heart doesn't work because the ruh is gone out. But another person, they transplant, it starts working in that person. So if the heart has, nothing has happened to the heart. And what is the ruh? The Quran Sharif explains, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ. They ask you, what is the ruh? قُلِ الرُّوحُ. Say to them, what is the ruh? قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّ. Three words, مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّ. It is from the commands of Allah. Allah's command, the ruh is gone out. Now that person is useless. His eyes cannot see. His tongue cannot speak. He can't make one signature. He can't lift up a finger. He can't do anything now because the ruh. So if we understand this, this is an important point I'm trying to make, that our lives are dependent on the ruh and on the body, both. As long as the ruh is in the body, everything is done for the body. And the house is prepared. We build our own houses. You go to a hotel, you stay for your comfort of your body. You get a room. You get food. You do everything. The car you buy, the best car, all for the body. But the body is dependent on the ruh. If the ruh is not there, brings groceries, he buys food, clothes, everything for the family. The family also will say, what will we do without you? But the day the ruh is gone, they don't say, what will we do without you? They say, nothing of us can happen till we don't go and put you in the qabristan first. First we have to get you out of the way. And therefore, the first thing when a person is buried, as soon as possible, go and bury the person. And carry on with life again. Carry on with life. And how many husbands have died? Did the wife and the children die of hunger? The husband is not the feeder. Allah is the feeder. How many wives have died? Did the husband and children die because nobody to cook for them now? No, Allah makes the arrangement. Whatever arrangement, put it in this person's heart. That arrangement is made, whatever. But life will carry on. So the important thing is, we have to understand the ruh is only a vehicle to transport the body. It's only a vehicle to transport the ruh. The important thing is, many times we have a motor car accident, Allah save us. And then what we say, Alhamdulillah, nobody got hurt. Not a scratch also, but the car is a write-off. But we say, that's important. If sometimes a robbery takes place at home, we say, Alhamdulillah, there was nobody at home. Or the house burned down, Allah save us all. But we say, Alhamdulillah, nobody was at home, all got saved. So we realize the person is more important than the thing. And just like that, if we can understand, the ruh is more important than the body. That is what we should. And now from that, we'll go a little bit further. Here in Katima, in the whole of Namibia, the whole world, factories and arrangements are made for the body. All types of factory, whether it's best plastic, whether it's toilet roll, whether it's a pencil, all these factories, whether it's a juice factory, whether it's an ice cream factory, all is made for the body, that the body must enjoy. Big construction firms, they build our houses, they build big buildings, whatever, government, big buildings they put up, all that is for the body. Aeroplanes that are flying, the airports, the travel agents, the airlines, all that for men to fly, to transport the body. Ships that they are, all the goods, containers, all those things is for the body. Everything we can think of. So if we go, a locksmith, the locksmith is making duplicate keys and all that he's doing, it is all for his body. Carpets, whatever you can think of, steps, shoes, clothes, all for the body. And what is more important, the body or the soul? The soul is more than the body. Have we got in Katima one shop for the soul? One building, one institution for the soul? That we don't have. Not in the world we got. So this is, we have to understand that for the body we are doing everything, but for the soul, what are we doing? How much time are we giving for the soul? We are making our faraz namaz, alhamdulillah, that is like having our three times meal. And today is not three times meal, today we are having how many? We want tea after asr, we want something before fajr, something after fajr, we want the nightcap also, we need a 10 o'clock tea also, we need 4 o'clock tea again. All this, how much don't we do for the body? But that is not sufficient. We do much more. So our five times namaz are the very basic. How many of us are starving our soul from even the five times namaz? We not make a person who doesn't have, many people will say breakfast is the most important meal of the day. Just make sure you have a proper breakfast. Fajr namaz is so important. Hey, all the five times namaz, a person who doesn't have lunch, who doesn't have supper, what will happen to such a person? The same way, a person who doesn't make his namazes, we don't feel it, but you are depriving that body. For example, your car needs service 20,000 kilometers, and you don't service it at 20. It doesn't mean it's going to stand still. It will work. But now you didn't service it. It needs a service again at 35,000. You're not servicing it again. You're going to stand one day on the road. You're going to have a problem. Your car is going to give you a problem. You're not servicing it. We don't service our body, we have a problem. And this problem is there, but we don't acknowledge it. For example, if we don't make our inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. Quran's command, Allah's command, that namaz, if you make your namaz, you are servicing your soul. If you do that, that namaz will stop you from lewd actions, bad, terrible actions. Looking at other women, flirting around with women, having affairs with women, and with all munkar, with all bad things. Because we're not making our namaz, how many of us, we are looking at other women? Because we didn't service the soul. Now the weakness came, your car is leaving you on the road now. Now you've got a problem. How many of us, our tongue is not under control? Our anger is not under control. How many good people are writing? We are addicted to porn. We just can't give it up. Looking at women, having affairs with women, etc. All this is because we didn't service the body. So if we make our namazes properly, that is the food. And like food, we don't just have straightforward rice. We must have something with the rice also. That is not enough also. We must have some aloo fry also with it. That is also not enough. Some fish also. And some papad also. And some achar also. We want everything. So with our namaz, we must have our sunnahs, our nafils also. Make our zikr also. Our tilawat also. If somebody invited you and they just put newspaper down and they just put a pot of rice without salt also, just boiled up rice, you'll get offended. What kind of dawat is this? You can't eat it though you are hungry, just boiled rice and you're not enjoying it. No, you want all the extras also. So in the food for the soul, Allah gave us the main course also. And Allah gave us all the side dishes also. And today, last night we said we tired, we want to go sleep. They say no, tea is coming. Dessert is coming. So you want the cherry on the top, you want everything. So just like that, our food also, the food, the main course is there. But here also, the dessert also Allah is giving. And a person, until he doesn't eat his dessert, he doesn't want to leave the table. Till he doesn't get his fruits, till he doesn't get his tea, then only he says, so all this, we make effort all the time. So even for our body we must do this. So Allah Ta'ala says, this journey, let us all realize, is of two things, our body and our soul. We are all worried, the whole world. Non-Muslims are non-Muslims, they are not worried at all. But as Muslims, how many of us are worried about the soul? And just masjid, five times namaz is not enough. You don't just have, for example, in the dunya, a place where we just eat, a hotel, where you can eat, or you got your kitchen. No, in the house you need your bedroom also, you need your bathroom also, you need your toilet also, you need your other little whatever facilities, amenities you can have. You want everything. So for deen also we must have everything. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam said, I don't say my body is pure and clean. Wama ubarri wa nafsi. When he says, how much more must we worry? We are ordinary insan. We have so lot of temptations and desires. Illa ma rahima rabbi. But only that soul is saved from all the fitnas and all the temptations of sin. That on whom Allah's rahmat is. On whom? That means on in those amal, those actions, which if you will do, Allah's rahmat will come on you. Like you make namaz, you read Quran Sharif, zikr you make, dua you make, at that time Allah's rahmat is coming. The other is the places where Allah's rahmat comes down. For example, clearly it comes in the Hadith Sharif, the best places on the surface of the earth are the masajid. Allah's rahmat is coming down. And the worst places are the business places. Not that business is bad or anything, but normally people deceive one another. People don't do their business properly. People, there, lot of gunas take place. Lot of lies, false promises are being made. And also, women folk who are there. And then the intermingling with the women folk. So if you are there, Allah's rahmat is not coming down. If you are here in the masjid, Allah's rahmat. And those actions which bring Allah's rahmat. Like namaz, roza, you keep. Those are the things which bring Allah's rahmat. From there, I will just again digress a little bit. And that whenever we have problems, whether it is financial problems, health problems, or domestic problems, fights in the house, and a disagreement between people, any problem you have, what we don't try and solve the problem directly. What we have to do those amal by which Allah's rahmat comes. Only Allah's rahmat can solve those problems. Even you got a strong desire of woman, and strong desire to commit sin, on your own you can't save yourself. Do those amal like Yusuf alayhi salatu. What a temptation. But he said, Ma rahima rabbi. Those amal by which Allah's rahmat comes down. Just today we were talking about killing a snake. So the friends were explaining that the snake, if you hit it on the tail or somewhere else, it will come back and attack you. But if you hit it on the head, it's dead. So just like that, these problems which we come, if we hit them on the head, what are they here? Which will bring Allah's rahmat. Finish, you kill all the problems. And if we don't do that, and we try and sort it out ourselves, we take the person to court, for example, you did this, you did that. We start arguing with the wife, you told me this, I tell her that. One for you, one for me, we just carry on. Like one couple were driving down the road, going for a drive on a Sunday, they had an argument. Now they had an argument, not one of the two are speaking. Dumb. They are now, they put it on mute. They're mute, there's no sound, they're just keeping quiet. They passed by a farm where there were all types of animals. Horses, donkeys, cows, dogs, pigs, all types of animals. So the husband told the wife to break the silence to get talking again, to turn the volume on a little bit. So he said, that's all your family, isn't it? So she said, yes, it's my in-laws. My family, but my in-laws that is on. So this is how, if you try and make meh-meh, too, you, she told you one thing, you say one thing, you won't mean with that. So, but do those amal, start reading Durood Sharif. Make tawbah istighfar. Ask her for maafi what you told. That brings Allah's rahmat and hearts will become soft again. And again you will be united. Financial problem, I promise you, health problems. Hazrat Hassan Basri rahmatullah alayhi was a very, very great buzur. Once he was sitting in a majlis with his friends, people were coming, meeting, salam, etc. Somebody said, make them in the water. Somebody said, there. Somebody said, make dua for us. One person came and said, I got financial problems. What must I do? He told him, make tawbah and istighfar. Another person came. He said, I'm not getting children. I want to have children. He told him, make tawbah and istighfar. Another person came and he said, I got health problems. He said, make tawbah istighfar. Another one came, he said, there are droughts, no rain. He told him, make tawbah istighfar. His main murid who was there, he said, Hazrat, everyone got a different problem. And you're giving everyone panado. Everyone, one medicine you are giving. How can that help? For every different method, bimari, illness, must be a different medicine. But you're just giving one way. You're just giving one prescription to everyone. Then he read the ayat of the Quran Sharif in which Allah says, Istaghfiru Rabbakum, thumma tubu ilayh. Make istighfar, make tawbah, yursil is-samaa alaykum midrara. On tawbah and istighfar, Allah will send abundance of rains also. And rains not of adab, floods, etc. the rains of rahmat, where people will enjoy everything good. Yursil as-samaa'a alaykum idrara wa yumdidkum bi amwali wa baneen, and Allah will give you wealth, Allah will give you children. Wa yumdidkum bi amwali wa baneen wa yaj'al lakum jannat wa yaj'al lakum anhara, and Allah will make beautiful lush gardens for you, beautiful green. In other words, things will be wonderful, your rivers will be flowing. In other words, prosperity in every way, all on tawbah istighfar. So, rahmat of Allah Ta'ala. So anyway, this was in the 13th supara, this ayat. Illa ma rahima rabbi. Inna rabbi ghafurur rahim. Allah Ta'ala is most forgiving, most merciful. When a person realizes, like today we are discussing, Allah makes it, it comes in our hearts and we understand that we got our body and we must see to your body. وَلِنَفْسِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَفْ. But the main is the ruh, the passenger. A person who is just worried of his motor car, shining, cleaning, servicing, everything, changing tires, changing mags, doing this, doing that all the time. But his own health is not worried. He's not eating food also. He's not taking medicine. He needs to go doctor. That you say, I haven't got money. For your car, you got all the money. For yourself, you got no money. I haven't got time. For your car, you got all the time. For yourself. So just like that, the body is the car. And we got all the time for this body. If we realize this, and we start concentrating on the ruh now, and we working on it, then a time will come, as in the 29th supara, Allah Ta'ala says there, that... This is nafs ammara bisu. This nafs that we realize all the time it's telling me to do wrong, giving me temptations of haram. And if we start working, we'll come to that state where it will become nafs lawwama. Nafs lawwama, that we'll still be doing wrong. But at least we'll have that consciousness. We won't justify ourselves. We won't be that we got an indifferent, don't care attitude. We just committing gunas, we're not worried about. We're missing namazes, we're not worried. We're not getting up for fajr. We say very hard and we just excuse ourselves. No, now we will think, guilty, I'm so bad. I don't make my namazes. I'm so bad. I'm looking at porn. Otherwise a person would think these things happen. Everyone looks at porn. What's wrong if I look at porn? Looking at other women, flirting around with women. Now we'll become conscious of it. And we'll hate ourselves for it. When we now work further and we try and correct ourselves, then nafs will become, which is in the 30th supara, nafs mutma'inna. Now that nafs, like the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam's nufus, their lives, we can't reach that level. But as they had 100% control over their nafs, we will also start having now great control. Now a little nafs will trouble, and very, very easily we will overpower nafs. Very little it will trouble, and very, very easily we will overpower nafs. This is nafs mutmainna. Now that person, he doesn't fall into porn. Hatred grows for it. Where once he was addicted and he couldn't live without it. Now full hatred for it. Looking at other women, having affairs with women, missing namaz. Now missing namaz is out of the question. If he has to now miss his namaz, he like just dying. He can't take it now. Then how can I miss my namaz? How can I miss my takbir-e-ula? How can I miss my jamaat? Now that person, he reaches that stage. And when he reaches that stage, and this journey of life which I was discussing, is the journey of the ruh and the body. And we are moving together and we are going. When you come to the end now, and now that person who went through the stages, first everyone's nafs is nafs ammara, telling you to do a lot of wrong. Then you made effort, you became conscious by listening to a talk like this, by staying with Buzurgan, Deen, Allah's fazl comes on a person, then his nafs becomes ammara, and you tell lawwama, and you tell yourself, you are so bad, you are doing this. Humility comes in that person. When he commits guna, he feels sad, he cries, he doesn't even boast about it. He doesn't write his gunas on Twitter. How many people commit gunas and they advertise it, putting it on Twitter? And a selfish person is a big guna to take your photo, and they're putting it on Twitter and advertising their guna, which is another very big guna also. So all these things here, a person stays away. Now Allah brings him to the stage of mutmainna, where he's got grave, and now you are coming towards the end of your life also. You got itminan, rahat in your life. You are not worried. You are going on a journey and you are well prepared for the journey. If you're going on a journey and you're not prepared at all, what is the condition? For example, one is, you are going for Umrah, you are going for Hajj, anywhere, holiday, whatever. And all preparation is made. You have booked your tickets, you have booked your hotels, you have made your transfer arrangement from the airport to the hotel to wherever. Everything is fixed there, everything. You can't wait for the day to come, because everything is prepared. When the day comes, happily you are going. You are not forced, you take your bags after. Everything, happily you are going. One is, 12 o'clock at night, the police comes and knock on your door. And they say, we are arresting you for this, whatever it is. No preparation. And where are you going? What are they going to do? Which jail they going to take you? The family asks also, where are you taking him? Or sometimes if the intelligence have to come, they just grab you. Like they sort of kidnap you from anywhere. You are just coming out of your office, then you're gone. Family doesn't know. They don't inform them also. The intelligence of the governments of the world, they work in that way. Next, they don't know. You see you in Guantanamo Bay. And they don't know anything. Where are you? Are you living? Are you dead? What happened to you? Who took you? One, if mort comes in that way. And one mort comes that you are going from Umrah Hajj. And you prepare and you're going happily. Who would like to be taken back to Guantanamo Bay? And the qabr is worse than Guantanamo Bay if we are taken, azab is upon us, if we didn't make Allah happy. If you didn't make your government happy, and they feel you're a treason case, you are working against the government, they'll give you the worst punishment. And treason against Allah, we don't recognize Allah. We go against the commands of Allah. How many of us speak about things against Allah's commandments? We tell them that, what is all this, na'uz billah, namaz, waste of time. What is this, becoming hafiz, becoming maulana, na'uz billah, waste of time. Become a doctor, become a lawyer, become an engineer. What is this, sitting and wearing kurta whole day with the spoon in your hand, you waste na'uz billah. There is all treason cases. And if Allah sends His intelligence, and our mort comes in that way, that just suddenly we are just, you're driving and you are dead. And your ruh is taken away. And one is, your ruh is taken in sajda. Your ruh is taken on Jummah. Your ruh is taken in a nice way. So this is the crucial, the final, the separation of the ruh and the body, which we call maut. That is the most important. So that is what we have to prepare for. If we can understand this lesson, and we take this, it's being recorded also, it will be on the website also, listen to it over and over. Discuss it with the family. MashaAllah, some of our murids, women in fact of some town, they listen to the programs on a Tuesday, Wednesday, they sit all together and discuss every point again. How many of our friends taking out one point and developing it and making it good? How many things, MashaAllah, there are those who take out one point and they make it a complete amalfuz and a good lesson for them. And it's all on the website. So if we make this regularly, or any other alim that our heart gave, we got. And Saturday, Sunday, our business is not closed. The locks are locked, but the business is carrying on in the mind. It's carrying on in the heart all the time. For our deen, for what is eternity, how much more effort must we not make? May Allah Ta'ala accept us, inshallah. And yeah, mashallah, this beautiful masjid, then the hifz class, the maktab that is carrying on, support it, not only financially and not only morally, but send our children also. And let it function properly and try and work that all around Katima, in the locations, in the rural areas, everywhere we must try and establish a musalla, establish a madrasa, wherever it warrants it. Try and work for deen and for akhirah. And in the process, don't forget ourselves also. Our own islah must be made. Our ta'alluq with Allah Ta'ala must be made. Our preparation for akhirah. Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Oh Allah, let us realize the purpose of our life, oh Allah. Let us realize, let us not be fooled by the temptations, by the glitter and glamour of dunya. Let us realize that we all have to die. And the real test will be how our mort comes and what our lives in the qabr will be. Let us not be fooled with our position in dunya, with our status in dunya, with what kind cars we are driving and what kind houses we are living, and our big, big names and titles. Let us not be fooled by that. Let us realize what is the reality of the life of the qabr and akhirah, and let us prepare accordingly. And you are that so merciful, most merciful, loving Allah, that you have made it so easy to prepare for akhirah. To prepare for dunya is so hard, but because everyone is doing it, we are thinking it's very easy. But really it is very hard. We are putting ourselves under great tension, stress, pressure for this dunya. And to prepare for deen, you have promised there is itminan, there is rahat, there is contentment, there is peace when we prepare for deen. Grant us those peaceful lives in this dunya, and let us see the expression, by the physical expression of all that peace at the time of morn, in the qabr and the akhirat, O Allah. Let us make the object of our life your being, O Allah. And let us learn to work towards your pleasure, and let us strive to please you, O Allah. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا يَا مَوْلَانَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد